And we're back, Stripe Show Podcast. On a Tuesday, I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Hope you had a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. A 2.5 day weekend for me. I had to work a little bit on Saturday morning. Got some lessons in, but the weather was perfect here in Northeast Florida. As the heat is ramping up, though, this week. And, well, it's the Memorial this week, as you know, only fitting. One of the biggest tournaments of the year, a guy by the name of Jack Nicklaus up there. He owns Mirrorfield Village. They've been coming there for many, many years. Tiger Woods, I think he's won this tournament probably, I don't know, 13, 14 times, it feels like, over the years. But there's also been some other big names and also some long shots over the years that have won this tournament. And we got to go on site. Our man, he's there, Keith Stewart. Read the line. If you flash a milkshake at any point during this podcast, Keith, I'm going to immediately turn it off. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. There's a couple things in the opening there. I like how Memorial Day turns into Memorial Week, right? And you mentioned Tiger winning a dozen times or whatever it was. They have the in the media center, they have the Wall of Champions, and it almost comes across like it's Tiger's living room. There's so many pictures.
It's so true.
Very old school media center, and they have hole by holes done on like regular wooden boards and everything. And the TVs aren't like, or the big monitors aren't like the big focus of the room. And everyone's kind of hunkered down at their laptops doing their thing. It's a cool place. It's a little bit of a throwback. And you know, the way Jack's been changing this golf course, he's trying to throw back the scores. So let's get into it, man. I'm excited.
Yeah. Well, you know, they you go back to COVID, right? Right after that, they redid the course a couple years ago. And then more recently, the 16th and the 17th, they've done some thing and added some distance. We're looking, what, 7,550 yards, probably somewhere in there on the scorecard. I look at the weather forecasts into the future up there at the in Ohio, and it's going to be hot, and they haven't had much rain. And it feels like this ball is going to be flying. This ball is going to be bouncing, and controlling your golf ball is going to be challenging. How do you see it?
Totally. You know, walking the golf course this morning, just getting my first look at it. I got in late last night. Feels really firm underfoot. You know, I had to look down. I was like, is this a cart path? I was like, no, this is the fairway. You know, you know, 7,500 yards reminds us all of like what length means to Augusta National. But as you look at that, like the last 10 winners here, or if you even include that workday and you look at the last 11 winners here over the last 10 years, length isn't always necessary. Yes, Cantley and Rahm, those names always pop up. But overall, I don't think of bombers. David Lingmerth doesn't pop to my mind. So, you know,
Billy Horschel.
Billy Horschel last year, yeah. Billy Horschel gained more around the green last year, strokes against the field, than he did on approach. So it kind of gives you a little bit of a foreshadowing is what we're going to get into today. But overall, the place, it's magnificent. All the rain they've had in May happened in the first 12, 13 days of the month, and then they haven't had any rain since. And whatever they want to do, they have sub-air systems here. This thing is soup to nuts. It might as well be Augusta National or TPC Sawgrass. I mean, this place is absolutely exquisite right now. They've got it right where they want it. The superintendent here does a really, really good job with all of the, you know, the guys that he mentors. And I bring this up because the club that I belong to in New Jersey, our young superintendent, this young man, James Bryson, he apprenticed here. He was a first assistant superintendent here at Mirrorfield Village. And what he's done to our place and the weather we've had in the Northeast, this looks like it's playing just as similar. And I tell you, man, it is firm and fast. And if you like that kind of golf, you won't need to roll the ball back this week, my friend. I can tell you that much. It's going to be hot this week. I can't wait. And these guys are going to go after it too, because this is designated 3.6 million, 20 million, whatever you want to categorize it as. I'm pretty pumped for this thing. This is a good one.
Yeah, I am too. Yeah. It's an elevated event, as you mentioned. And Yeah, it's interesting. You look at it, it's a longer course, 75-50. We just mentioned the two most recent holes that they've lengthened out. There's some par fives that are difficult to get home into. But yet when you look at it, you don't really feel like you need a bomber. I think that's a good point. I think driving accuracy goes up. These are big fairways. They're pretty, easy to hit, but approach, you got to elevate here. You can't fake it here with the iron game. A lot of shots from 175 to 200, 150 to 175, which I've loaded in here. And I want to get your thoughts when we get to the board on some of the key statistics that I've loaded into the model around the green. The rough, is it without the rain? How would you classify the rough at this point? Because it can be historically, it can be pretty difficult, and you certainly would have to think that you got to elevate the short game when looking at picking a winner as well.
On the Oak Hill scale of 1 to 10, Oak Hill being 10, I'd put it at about a good 8.5. It's okay. Healthy. Okay. It's certainly healthy. Like I said, they could do whatever they want. These guys have a way to water the golf course, fertilize it, do all those things. You know, he's under complete control of what he's doing with this thing. Mm-hmm. He and Jack, right? So overall, I mean, I think this thing is just primed and ready to go. And, you know, we talk a lot about all the time off the tee length, bombers and all of that stuff. You know, it was interesting. The fairways were so tight and the rough was so penal at Oak Hill. It almost like you had to have a bit of luck in order to be, you know, like to get yourself into contention, or you just had to have a ton of power and just keep it on the planet. But, you know, I'll use an analogy. Like, let's say you're Rory versus Colin, right? So Rory bombs it 30 yards by him, 40 yards by him, but he hits less fairways. Well, at Oak Hill, nobody was hitting the fairway, right? If Colin missed the fairway by 2-3 yards and Rory missed it by 20, they faced the same penalty. And now with the fairways wider here at Muirfield Village, Colin's going to hit more fairways. So he's going to hit more greens, whereas the penalty for missing the fairway here is much more severe. So as you look at those bombers, make sure you get those guys that are going to get it closer to the fairway. I love that stat, good drives gained. And it's very rarely that we find ourselves using it for a golf course that's this long. It's always we're using it at Wailea over at Harbortown or one of those places where it's like gets super tight. Trust me, you get off the fairway this week and things are going to get real unpredictable really quick. And, you know, I think that's why when you look back, you know, when Rahm and Cantlay won here, even though they were bombers, they were hitting the fairway all the time. Tiger, same sort of thing. You know, Billy Horschel last year. So make sure, you know, just because we made the fairways wider doesn't mean we made it easier. We actually helped the guys that are really good at hitting fairways is what it comes down to.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think those are good points. I hate when there's a little bit of that luck, the ball bouncing. It's like, how do you fit it in there and keep it in the fairway? These fairways got to look like you're trying to hit it into the Atlantic Ocean at this point as far as versus what they were looking at Oak Hill. So yeah, we got to be playing from the short grass, but we need a very skilled iron player. Let's elevate short game a little. And then the last stat, putting. I don't know. It just always feels like to me, you don't have to be a great putter to win here. You know, we've seen guys contend that are, I don't think are great putters. You know, Ben On, comes to one. Jason Duffner,
Jason Duffner won here. Yeah.
You know, so I just like the green complex is on the green. I mean, is Billy Horschel a world-class putter? You know, so it just feels like when you start going down the board, can we continue to elevate a player like a Corey Connors, who is not traditionally historically a great putter, but showing signs he can get it done with the iron game. We've seen the struggles with Colin Morikawa with the putter. Does he come back here and regain some of the things that he's had happen here? Remember when Morikawa won here, it was called the work day. They went back to back during the COVID year. So, I know it was a different golf course, but still you're standing on Muirfield Village greens. So how do you feel you weigh the putting? Is it just kind of a wide open deal here, where anything goes? You're not a great putter historically. That's okay. Come to Muirfield and you might make some putts, get hot and let it go more so than another venue.
I look at the putting here is that it's just not very subtle. All right. So there's a lot of elevation changes to this property. So as you play, you go up and down a lot. And when that happens, it's not hard for the architect to just put the greens on slopes and make them difficult. You get above them or to the side of them, you're going to have problems. If you stay below it, you can putt well. I think inside 10 feet, it shows statistically that this is a place that people make putts. So I think the greens are smooth. They sit on very severe slopes. So that's what makes them difficult, as versus going to a place where there's a lot of subtleties, humps and bumps. You know, I didn't think the putting was very difficult at Oak Hill. The greens there, they were just tough to get to. You know, but at the end of the day, they were all pushed up. You stayed below the hole. You could make your fair share of putts. And we saw that. So I think it's a very similar setting in that regard. I would be way more concerned with hitting these greens and then what you're doing when you're in and around them. You know, last year, Billy Horschel gained more around the green than he did actually on approach, statistically speaking. So this is one of the – there's not a lot of places on tour where we really, really wait around the green, and that's because the greens are smaller than usual. The golf course is longer than usual, so you have a lot of long irons coming in. There's some deep, treacherous bunkers in and around these green surfaces. And, you know, overall, I think that, you know, one of the things – I looked at the numbers. Over the last 5 to 10 years – you know, you had over the last 5 years since, and this has a lot to do with the renovation, you almost had to gain 4.5 strokes against the field to win around the green. I mean, that's a lot, you know, I mean, you contrast that to a week ago and it was under a stroke. So you can see how much of an emphasis there is on that. So it's long grass around the greens. It's not a lot of chipping swales. It's also a big around the green test when you start to think about how you chip and pitch the ball, because even though some of the par fives aren't reachable, people get near them. They don't always hit the green in two. And how are you making birdie from there? Everyone always thinks of around the green as saving par, but I don't always see it that way. If somebody's a really good around the green player, they tend to be very good on short par fours and scoring on par fives because they're just good at getting the ball close to the hole when they're close. And to me, that's another reason why I want to wait around the green so much, because par five scoring is at the top of the food chain this week for sure.
Well, it's a good segue into the model that I've put together here. And here we go into the top five of the board. I got to stretch it down a little bit because McIlroy's sliding down the board here as we
number four.
Open it up on a Tuesday. Scheffler, of course, the favorite, 6-1. There's Rahm at 7. Cantlay, 10. McIlroy's now down to 12 with Schauffele at 12. All right, so let's start at the top here. And I always like to load in key stats, of course. You know, you got to weight approach heavy. I did a couple key numbers, wanted to see 150 to 175, 175 to 200. You know, I put off the tee at 10%, bumped up around the greens up to like 15%, putting at 10%. I also put in opportunities gain. I want to see who's getting looks and then your good drives gain, right? And who's hitting fairways. And the last one, strokes gain par five. So we load those in, we hit load, and there you have it. Five of the first six names, the guys that I just mentioned, Rahm, Scheffler, Schauffele, McIlroy. Number five is Wyndham Clark. We know he's been playing well last 50 rounds. And then there's Cantlay at 6. So, yeah, so we feel pretty good about that, right? Your big names bubble up. Those are your top players. Which way are you going to lean? We know Rahm has won here, should have had two wins, was called off the course due to COVID.
Yeah.
Scheffler's never won here. Schauffele's played okay. And Cantlay, we know, he won here back in 2021. In fact, he's won here twice. So you go to the top of the board. Which way do you lean?
I have one question for you. Okay. Before I answer that question, and that is course history versus the guy that's hitting it better than Tiger Woods was at times in his prime, right? Scottie Scheffler, the ball hitting display that he's putting on right now makes him the favorite everywhere. But this is a very predictive golf course. It's one of the top five on the PGA Tour. Do Rahm and Cantlay become more of a favorite in your mind than Scottie? Even if you put the putting bugaboo to the side, right? I mean, everyone really talks about the history of playing this golf course and guys it suits, you know, better than others, right? Can we put Cantlay and Rahm ahead of Scheffler this week in our mind because of their history?
I can Rahm, yes. I can go there for Rahm, but I can't with Cantlay. Okay. I don't think Cantlay is at the level of what we're seeing from Scottie Scheffler. And to your point, I mean, you go back to Charles Schwab. I mean, this is a guy that finished third and lost 4.6 putting. You know, I mean, he finished third losing 4.6 with the flag. So just let that settle in a little bit. That's how good he was from tee to green. I mean, the guy from tee to green is just exceptional. He really is. Now, Cantlay, of course, we know he has no weaknesses. We know that, you know, more for all intents and purposes, he's probably going to be there, you know, come late on a Sunday at a place like this. A lot of confidence here, two wins. I can't elevate Cantlay to Scotty, but I can elevate Rahm slightly over Scheffler due to how well John Rahm has navigated himself around the green. One thing on Scotty's putting. I watched Scotty putt a lot last week. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like, and I want to ask his coach this, Randy Smith. I feel like he's misreading greens more than anything. You know, and I'm curious to get the answer from his coach. Like, why is he not more efficient as he starts getting inside 10 feet, that 5 to 10 foot range? Like, what is the deal here? Is it aim? Is it alignment? Is it speed? I just think he's, to me, it looks like he's not reading it as well as he should be. And there's something there that needs to change from a greens reading standpoint to get him better from that range. Because when he does, right, when he does, I mean, he's going to win every single tournament that he tees it up in, with how good he is tee to green.
Well, I mean, he won the Players by, what, 5? And he broke even on putting. So, I mean, that tells you how good he's hitting it. I always think to myself, when a guy is – hitting the center of the club face full swing, but he's not hitting his target. Like, you got to go back to the fundamentals. And you and I love having these quick coaching anecdotal conversations, but it's like, there's got to be something fundamentally wrong there. And obviously Randy Smith's a Hall of Fame teacher. Don't get me wrong, but like, there's got to be a little something, and green reading is fundamentals, right? Yeah. You know, I mean, it's a basics of what you're doing. And we're not talking about from 30 feet here, folks. You know, we're talking from inside 10 feet. The guy's world class from 200 yards and he can't do it from 20 feet. It seems odd, but to answer my own question, I struggle with Rahm being 50th at Oak Hill. I would have thought that would have been a great fit for him. And I haven't heard anything in and around the media center to lead me to otherwise. So supposedly Finau had terrible, terrible allergies. Okay. Up there in Oak Hill, you know, different type of season up there. He went up there and, you know, that was, you know, so we have reasons why one of the world's best ball strikers, it didn't really work out for him that week. You know, it goes to show you that in order to win, especially a major, you got to have all the planets aligned. Why was Rahm 50th, right? That place should have been, you know, cookie cutter for him. Right. And, I almost give Cantlay a better chance of competing with Scheffler this week than I do Rahm. Although, man, if there's anyone that's going to enter this week for the rest of his career with a chip on his shoulder, it's going to be John Rahm.
Yeah,
he can't until he wins more of these than anybody else. I don't think he'll be, and even then, I don't think he'll be satisfied. So, the big three no longer includes Rory, and here's a question for you, right? When will you start betting Rory again? What's the number got to get to, right? Everyone's talking about the 20s, right? Like, if you look at it, where's Victor sitting? Probably right around 20, right? Who are you giving a better chance to this week? When
Victor
do we get back?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, when do we get back on the Rory train? You know, I mean, we're in Dublin, Ohio, and we're not talking about Rory in a good way.
God, I mean, Rory's talking about how, you know, fragile he was mentally and this and that out loud. It's like, oh, my God, someone get the mic out from underneath him. Now, I will say this. I mean, Rory McIlroy finished 7th at the PGA and gained 7.3 in approach. So let's just kind of say what it is. And he was 1.6 positive in putting, and it looked like he had his B game out there. You know, that's the one thing with Rory. He can cruise along with a B game, and it looks like other people's C-minus game, D-plus game, and he's two shots off the lead. I mean, it's amazing how he can cruise along and still – after back-to-back birdies, like, oh my God, there's Rory. How did he get there? The last time we saw him, he was hitting it over there and hitting it over there. And so, congratulations. You know, I don't know. It's hard to wrap your mind completely around where Rory's at right now, given everything. And you and I have talked about it. But I think at the top of the board, I just, I'm not as concerned with Rahm. It just, nothing really stands out like it was a major weakness there at the PGA. I think it's one of those, maybe you just chalk it up.
The first time
we John Rahm just made for Muirfield. I mean, this is.
Yes, he is.
He loves this place, so I'll give the nod to Rahm in the short odds. All right. Hovland, Hatton, Morikawa, the local guy, Jason Day, he lives right there. Justin Thomas, all the way down to 28-1. Did you ever think we'd come on a Tuesday afternoon and Justin Thomas is 28-1?
That was absolutely awesome. I mean, it's a lot like the Rory conversation. When you see, when people start seeing JT at 30, they are just going to hit the button, boom, 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 as much as they can. And if and if Rory continues to leak a little bit, it gets in the high teens, the same thing's going to happen. JT's history here, though, is other than losing in the playoff at the Workday, which was not the Memorial, and the two courses couldn't have played more different those 2 weeks. You would think JT would be a little bit better here, especially as good as his short game has been in the last couple of years.
Yep.
I think if we're just going to talk about JT for a second, when the putting, it's amazing that Scotty hasn't let his putting issues leak into the other parts of his game. And it's obvious that JT has. And he's just spending too much time scrambling or trying to be perfect with every other aspect of his game because the putting doesn't seem to work and he's got to get it turned around. I need more time on JT. That being said, there's a couple guys with the letter H that I think are more than due.
Back to your boy Hatton. Here we go, right?
Come on. Yeah. I mean, seriously, I'm going to start yelling and screaming like him because maybe he'll hear me. But I mean, if we're going to fall all over those top three guys and how well they're hitting it, Hatton's fourth. Tee to green on the PGA Tour. He plays difficult golf courses hard. And yes, I was there on the front nine at Oak Hill watching him shoot 7 over for the front nine and going, well, this is done for the week, right? How many guys shot 6 under for the last 63 holes?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You could count them on one hand. Hatton, obviously something wasn't comfortable, but he did get comfortable. And then people could say, well, yeah, then he wasn't in the tournament anymore, so that's why he played well. Okay, so that's fine. Scotty doesn't putt well. Everyone's got their issues, right?
Yep.
But this place, if you're telling me that it's made for somebody like John Rahm, it's definitely made from the iron game in for someone like Tyrrell Hatton. Now, he's certainly not as long as those guys, but he hits a ton of fairways. And when he came over from the DP World Tour, he was really good putting and chipping, right? And that still exists. And you're going to need that around here to score on these par fives. And I think all about the well-roundedness of his game and his ability to score from 50 yards and in really makes Tyrrell Hatton to me. And hey, guess what? The books had him at 40 first thing Monday morning, and now he's down to 25. I mean, I'm not the only one thinking this, folks. You know,
no.
So if you want, there's still room on the bus, and we'll get a trailer if we need one. Hop on. We're riding the Tyrrell train. Let's go.
Yeah, you and I were all over him at the PGA, and he got off to the slow start, and then he rallied back, still finished 15th. Look, he's going to play from the fairway. His iron game is solid and he's got a short game if he needs it. And Tyrrell Hatton can make putts. He was here back in 2020, I think is when he played here. He's been here one in 2019. So before the redo, he was T33. So you can kind of throw that out. This will be his first go around, with this particular venue. But yeah. You know, look, I look at the middle of the board here. Yeah. I'm back on Hatton. There's no question about it. I'm going to circle Morikawa. I'm going to go ahead and.
Okay.
And
quick
think
question
that we're,
there.
All right. Here we go. Yep.
Right. You have a putt from 5 feet. All right. You're there at Colonial to win the tournament. It's a playoff between Morikawa and Scheffler. Who makes it? Right. I mean, we're getting into this now, right? Morikawa probably, right? But, you know, he has a good history here, and it's because, you know, approach is weighted so heavy. But if we're going to talk about a guy that maybe has a little bit of issues closer to the green, I gotta bounce off Colin, and I got to go back to Victor.
No, wait a minute. Morikawa's been in the green the last 2 weeks, so it's getting better. His driver hasn't been overly fantastic. His iron game, solid. Not dominant like we've seen.
True.
The thing with Morikawa, though, is like he doesn't need to ramp up to go positive five or six putting. It just happens. Like, you just look at his history and it just happens. He just pops up and all of a sudden it's positive five or six and he wins. You go back to, let's go back to the workday, right? I got it right here in front of me. He okay. wins in 20. He wins in, let's see, that was July of 2020. And before that, last, you know, just typical Morikawa stuff, you know, loses five, loses three. He putted good at the Charles Schwab that week and then loses two, loses one. Then he goes positive 4.7 and wins right at the workday. And then he loses eight at Memorial the next week. Figure that one out.
Same greens.
He had to be like completely hungover or something after that win. But then he goes positive eight at the PGA and wins. Just boom, just like that. You go into 2021, the Genesis loses 7.6 putting the next, I'll never forget this. I think I had the same conversation on the podcast the next week, positive four wins WGC Mexico. I mean, it's unbelievable. Now you go to 2021, Charles Schwab, the 4 weeks leading up to the Memorial in 2021, loses strokes, typical Morikawa stuff, -2.5, -2.3. Boom, positive 5.4 at the Memorial, finishes second. I mean, it's unbelievable how all of a sudden he kind of finds it and he keeps it in his iron game and it just builds upon itself. So look, I do feel like it's coming. It's just my insight to that. I do feel like it's coming and I know that the iron game is heating up. I know that he likes his place. He's putted well before in the past. I'm circling Morikawa in the short odds with Hatton because, you know, I'm not in love with anything after that. Day doesn't play this card. JT, no. Sung JM, no. Spieth, I agree with you. He's unsettled right now. I mean, the guy's lost his short game and his putting all of a sudden. I can't play Fitzpatrick here. He's not a good enough iron player, is he? I know Fowler's going to get some continued support with a week again last week. Cameron Young's a mess right now. You take me all the way down into the 35-40 range until I find the next person that I like, and that is I'm strongly considered a Matsuyama Connors kind of combo.
All right, before we go down there, just I want to throw my take on this. Hovland is the best iron player in the world right now, certainly long iron player. Without a doubt. And, you know, you went through the 2020 workday. Colin gained 9.2 on approach en route to winning there, 19 under in a playoff over JT. Victor just gained 10.6 at the PGA. He was okay at Colonial. Colonial's not the type of golf course where he's going to differentiate himself because everyone else is going to hit mid irons alongside him, and these guys are all great, right? But when we get into that long iron game, this is what helped Tiger win, you know, 800 different events, was that as soon as you tested the really hard parts of anyone's game, that's where the cream rises to the top. So if we're going to say that John Rahm is like super fit for this place or the way that Scottie Scheffler's striking it or whatever, I really think that the way Victor's hitting the golf ball and the fact that there's long grass for around the green for short game versus, you know, short, tight grass, Bermuda grass or something like that. It's just the way that he gained three strokes there at Oak Hill. It makes the short game a little bit easier for those guys that don't like picking off those tight lies. I think Victor's very much a part of the conversation for this week. And I think you and I would both agree, and I'll just leave it on this, is that it would surprise me if Cam Young's, you know, first big win was a designated one. It would not surprise me. I know Victor has three wins, but it would not surprise me if Victor's first big win is a designated one. So I think he's figuring things out. You know, everyone was making a big deal about there's three top tens in the last three majors. I'm like, look at those golf courses. St. Andrews, Augusta National, and Oak Hill. I mean, you couldn't have three more varied, you know, landscapes and scorecards to contend on. And Victor, he was great at them all. And two of them, he was in the last group. Yep. So I think he's figuring things out there, and he's one of those guys that strikes it so good with a little bit wider fairways. That's going to make his approach game even better. And he's obviously feeling very good right now about his golf game. And so before we go back down, I got a lot of H's this week. I love Hovland. I love Hatton. And I am totally with you on Hideki. So let's open up the Pandora's box on Hideki because I am there for you.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like it's coming, right? Hovland's going to get one of these bigger wins. Seems to be gaining confidence. We talked about the PGA, the longer grass around the greens was more conducive for Hovland, and it sounds like he could certainly lean into that a little this year. Cup back-to-back good putting weeks, PGA, Charles Schwab. The only thing that, you know, this is his fourth tournament in 5 weeks, third in a row. So something to maybe take a look at. Hovland doesn't do a lot of that three in a row kind of stuff. Well, maybe he did there back in the – usually he's two and out, but this is his third one in a row. All right,
I'm going to make you feel better about the fatigue thing. Are you worried about fatigue for Scotty?
No, I'm not.
All right.
So I'm not worried about fatigue, although Scotty looked gassed last week. He's
like, yeah.
He did look a little tired in some of those interviews. Yeah,
so was he tired when he hit the 11th green on Sunday in two at whatever, you know, 600 yards, or was he tired when he three putted the par?
They're young. They're fine. Yeah, fine.
He'll handle it. He'll be fine.
That's right. All right. So Hideki, look, I mean, Hideki's, I think is kind of built for this place. Now, I'm talking myself into Connors again. I can't get out of my mind Sunday at the PGA. I'm going to go ahead and say that was a major. He wasn't ready yet. I did like Connors, you know, to some degree at the PGA. Obviously, you're going to get it with the driver and the irons. I do think his short game and putting is finally, and I say finally, moving in the right direction. I shared with you a few weeks ago all the run of, you know, just slightly positive strokes gained that he was starting to accumulate and things moving in the right direction. So I think, look, a Corey Connors, you could be elevated here historically. You don't have to be a great putter to win here. He's not a great putter. He's an improving putter. He's playing good golf. But, man, Corey Connors looked out of place in the lead on a Sunday at the PGA Championship. It just hit him and everything went the wrong way. So it feels a little early maybe to get back on Connors, you know, and maybe he's kind of rebuilding back some of that confidence. But I will sprinkle a little on Matsuyama as we get into the 40s. I'll mention a few more names and then I'll let you chime in. Burns at 40. Don't be fooled. Burns last week played well, but he did it with his short game, which is not the way Sam Burns usually gets it done. I still think he's working through some swing stuff. Lowry's at 45. Adam Scott's not. His ball striking's been fantastic at 45. Henley at 45. Thagala now bet it at 50. I already bet Sahith, though. I like Sahith here at 50. Wyndham Clark at 50. I'm sure we'll get some play. And I think Siwoo will get some play as well at 50. He's got a nice record here. So how about some names there as we start moving into the 50s and 60s?
You know, I'm taking a couple notes here real quick. You know, for the listeners, we got to jump through a couple of these, right? Siwoo, great placement play, great course history, striking the ball very solid. Saw that at Oak Hill. I've seen it a bunch this year. He's already won. So definitely I think he's a great prop play. He's a good matchup play day-to-day. To win again, I'm not there. And I'm the same way with Corey Connors. Is Corey Connors the level of golfer that's going to win twice in 8 weeks on the PGA Tour?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. It's a good question because – ball striking wise, yes. Like in what you were seeing in the improvement, it looked like, damn, Connors is going to take the next step here at the PGA. Like he's going to take the next step. And then the pressure hit him on Sunday and it was like, oh my gosh, we talked about after that week, how big of a gap there was between a player like a Koepka and a Connors psychologically, mentally down the stretch on a Sunday on that day. Not so much maybe statistically, iron here, driver there a little bit, but psychologically, Connors didn't look like he was ready at all.
No. And I mean, that's basically what I'm getting at, because I want to move past him. And there's two names there you mentioned that I'm very high on. And the odds boards reflect that. But the first one's going to be Hideki. Now, we talk about the chip on Rahm's shoulder with the COVID diagnosis, and then he had to just walk away, which I'll say to this till the day they put me in the grave, right? Everyone complains about Rahm always getting hot-headed all the time. That guy handled that with so much class and grace when he walked away and got on the cart. I mean, I wouldn't want to have been his locker door or anything whenever he got away from the cameras. But, I mean, that guy handled that so well. He gained so much respect in my mind because, you know, everyone always portrays him as, you know, being a temper guy and all that stuff. You know, I mean, he is a super thoughtful guy and he handled that so well. I thought he did a tremendous job with that. But remember a year ago, remember what happened to Hideki in his three wood? He had the paint on his three wood because he was doing testing with it. He got DQ'd.
Yep.
I mean, this is another golf course that's well suited to Hideki. I mean, Jack designed this place as to pay homage to Augusta National. Everybody knows that. Look at the 12th hole, you know, all of the different things, right? He wanted to make it super well-rounded. They're both 7,500 yards. He wanted the comparison of distance with around the green and everything else. So Hideki had his first ever tour win here in 2014. So he obviously feels good on the property. And after last year where he was playing well, like kind of just in the first round of all people, he's paired with Patrick Reed and Patrick Reed's like, yeah, we got to get this guy out of here. You know, like this guy's got to go. He's got paint. You know, he's got paint on the front of his club. Like that matters to Hideki, right?
Yeah.
So he's coming back and, you know, Hideki's just, I mean, he's been super solid lately. Like his last five starts, he's not outside the top 30. And I so believe this, and hear me out on this for a second, but as I sit here in the media center, no one ever talks about Hideki.
Right.
Right. And I think it has to do with the language barrier. I think it has to do with the American media bias, right? Like we tell stories about people that can help tell us stories. And because he can't speak English, a lot of people don't really give Hideki his due. And when he won the Masters, sure, we shrouded him in praise. And that's great. You know what I mean? But he's quietly been really, really good. Mm-hmm. You know, gaining in all facets of the game. And he's a totally underrated short game player.
Yep.
And one of the comp courses I want to throw out to the listeners this week, and they should pay attention to this. Everyone always looks when they see Parkland style golf courses, they say, well, it takes the same skill set to do Oak Hill, to do, you know, to come here to Muirfield Village. It's the skill set you're comparing. And it is the penalties that you face when you are using that skill set that tests you under pressure. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give you a comp course that might blow your mind a little bit because they look dramatically different. But when you think about what it takes to score well and who's done well at both places, I love looking at the WMPO and TPC Scottsdale.
Interesting.
You've got to go after the par fives there, right? That's where you do a majority of your scoring. It's the same thing that's going to happen here. If you miss a little bit off the fairway there, you can play. You're still on the grass. You miss by a ton here, you're in the trees, or you are cooked. You miss by a ton there, you're in the desert, right? And the par threes are difficult. A bunch of the par fours are difficult. When the elements kick up or when the course plays hard and fast, it plays super hard and fast, mm-hmm. right? And if you look at the guys that play well there, Hideki, Rahm, Cantlay, Scheffler, I mean, you're going to say the same names this week over and over again, right? So at the end of the day, I would go look at a couple of those leaderboards in recent years and compare them because I have, and there's a couple correlations there. Terrell Hatton's played good there a couple times he has. Victor Hovland, right? So these are the types of guys that I'm thinking, man.
Ricky Fowler,
yeah. Right? Last tour win there. So, like, we could keep popping out names like this, but – when you start to look at
Gala, he finished second there. I'm just saying,
right,
my man.
Want to have some fun with this, right? Okay. I mean, when you start to look at like the top 10 scoring averages, you know, with guys that have played this event, like, you know, more than a couple of times, Cantlay number one, Rahm number two, this is at Muirfield Village, right? Collin number three, Kuchar number four, Molinari number five. All right. Long iron play, right? Mm-hmm. Six Hideki, seven Xander. Xander ever play good at the WMPO? He ever hold the lead there? Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Rory, Henley, Scotty, number 10, right? Scotty, wow. First win, you know, first big win there. So, you know, that's one of those things. And that's Muirfield Village Golf Club. You know, who are the names over here? You know, you already mentioned Ricky. I mean, just you think about those things and where the penalties fall, where the trouble is what causes us to fail under pressure. You know that as a coach, mm-hmm. right? You deal with your elite players all the time. So that's what you got to look for in comp courses. So it's easy to see YLA and Harbortown. They're like, well, yeah, you have to hit the fairway in between these trees. But just because there aren't trees, putting it in the desert isn't going to do you any good, right? So I love Hideki this week. And the one thing as I go on here, Scott plays this golf course well.
Adam Scott, for sure.
And he's hitting the ball great. I'll just say this much about Adam Scott. 14 trips here, six times, right? Tee to green, he's gained over six shots against the field. And And three of those times he gained double digits. So there's no doubt in my mind that he loved coming to this place and putting his game to the test leading up to the U.S. Open. And, you know, maybe he'll pay attention more. You know, he's playing really good right now. I mean,
Adam Scott is really good right now.
So he's definitely those two guys right there in the middle of the road. If we're looking for value and you got some win equity behind your belt, you know, Scott's got a green jacket. So we know there's correlations between A and GC in here as well. So, you know, you ask me those names, that's where I'm going.
Adam Scott's last win, 2020 Genesis. We talked about Morikawa. It's coming up on 2 years here for Morikawa's last win. To bring it back. Yeah, it's interesting comp with TPC Scottsdale. Hideki's last win, you go back to Sony in 2022. Of course, Hideki won, what was it, 2016 and 2017 at Waste Management.
Yep. But like strokes gained career, the guy leads, he kills it in the desert. Kills it, you know?
Yeah.
And it just requires the same sort of skill set that this place does.
It's interesting. Hideki at the PGA finished 29th and lost 5.7 putting. So his iron game was really good and has been now for 2 or 3 weeks. He was 16th at the Masters. Yeah, there's no question Hideki's bubbled up. I really like Hideki and Sahith the Gull. Those are the two names that I circled right here in the middle part of the board. I've already bet, and I think we're on the same page
totally
when it comes to the middle part of the board. As we kind of work down now we start getting into these 70s and 80s and 90s. I'll just kind of start rattling off some names here and stop me when we get to one. Tom Kim, we talked about Siwoo. There's Tom. Keegan Bradley is at 70. Kuchar's at 75. Woodland's at 90. Chris Kirk, now we're into the hundreds.
You skipped a guy on me. He played good last week. Ben on.
Oh, I got Ben on at 110.
Oh, you're right. I'm looking at a different board here. Oh,
yes. So Ben on right now is 110. Good record here and playing good golf. You think Ben on can win this tournament?
He was in position to do it once, right? Lost in a playoff.
Yep.
Right. So it suits him. Short game, power off the tee, accurate off the tee and long. If he has an average week with his irons and above average week with his putter, I mean, you know, we're splitting hairs when a guy's, you know, 125-1 to win, but that's how the bombs work out, right? Something has to click that
Something's
week.
Got to click. Yep.
And when you get down there, I see this golf course fitting him. I see it fitting like a Wyndham Clark, way more than, well, you know, is it an on or off week for Cam Davis? You tell me which week it is, and then we'll bet him. All right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He either gains 12. Or he, you know, he's gone on Friday. It's unbelievable. But he's been gaining more in the designated events. So, you know, Quail, he was great. PGA, he was great. Last week, missed a cut. You know, it's crazy. So,
it is.
But just to throw a name out there, though, Ben Onis, he's had some good weeks lately and he has great course history here. So,
he's a name that I have no problem playing in a top 20. There's no question about that. I think Harris English, as we work down the board, he is currently at 130 right now. You know, Harris has started to put some things back together and really didn't putt that great last week. Still finished 12th at the Charles Schwab. And that's usually, you know, Harris's strength.
He might be blacklisted for me for a little while.
PGA,
I was all over him. You know, I thought he was a great high placement, matchup sort of guy, Northeast, great player, bent grass, all that approach game, everything leading into the PGA was great, didn't show up. And then this past week, he does show up and, you know, so you get that and you get in the in-play betting and, you know, everyone loves their live betting. And, you know, I just start feeding the beast on Harris. Right. And then Sunday, I mean, he played like me. It was unbelievable. I was like, what is this guy doing right now?
Couldn't get in the fairway.
Yeah, I couldn't, you know, I mean, yeah, so which, you know, brings up a good point. If you don't like Scotty right now, like Scotty going into last week was 4-1. He was plus 400. On Sunday morning, he was plus 200 to finish in the top five, Travis. Hmm. Right? So I can get 2-1 on a Sunday morning for him to finish in the top five. And I know he's hitting the ball good. I just need him to make like two extra five footers today, right? So you got to pay attention to those things. If you don't like Scotty and Rom where they are right now, just wait. Let this thing kind of, you know, let it breathe a little bit.
Let
it
breathe.
Just, you know, we have, we always want to educate our listeners though. You want to, you want to help them look for those little diamonds in the rough, right? And that's the beauty of this whole thing. Let's go with the list. Keep going. I'm sorry.
Had 110. Griot coming off the big win at 8-under Colonial. 110. McCarthy, speaking of blacklisted.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good year last year, right?
He was T5 last year. So here I am, and here I am now. Like, I looked at McCarthy probably so much, I just I think I was on him and off him like four different times. I just confused myself completely.
Give me the – so when we get down here, though, give me the path for McCarthy, right? Get how what is Denny McCarthy – right? Born and raised in Maryland, you know, Northeast style golf. It should definitely fit here in Ohio, right? Like, give me the path. How does Denny McCarthy win this week?
Well, let me pull him up here for a second.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Yeah, let's get into it here. Let me go back to, this. So Denny McCarthy, here we are. You know, you're getting the putting, right?
Yeah. Well,
I think you're getting a much improved short game. A much improved iron game. That's that I felt like was really gaining and moving in the right direction. And then he just, you know, fell apart there at the PGA. I think he gives himself ample looks, opportunities. I think he's solid in the par five games. You look at the good drives gain or the greens and you look at the greens and regulation gains. He's in the upper third in this field.
Yeah.
So I feel like the weaknesses of McCarthy have been really getting better. And then you counter that with how great of a putter he is. And I just felt like things were converging up to a really good – he's shown the propensity to play some tough golf courses pretty well.
Yeah.
So I like McCarthy. I don't know if I love him as much this week after you know, after he missed the cut at the Charles Schwab, that kind of just really pissed me off. I've been being completely honest.
Yeah.
And I could easily go down to 151 and play Bezednut.
Yeah.
You know, a guy that is going to, you know, he's not long, but I don't think you're going to have to be completely long here. The ball's going to fly. He can hit the fairways, let his iron game go to work. And I think he's doing some good work right now. I think Bezednut. I think Bezedenhut, when I look at him, let me pull him up real quick. I had him and then I just.
The only other thing I'll toss in on McCarthy is that when we start the July American version of the PGA Tour, you know, when everyone else kind of migrates off and we go Deer, Barbasol, 3M, Rocket Mortgage, all these places, McCarthy's, we're going to see all of that hard work he's been doing on his ball striking. And we're going to, because he's going to be in the top, you know, top 10 guys in some of those fields as far as the odds board goes. And we're going to be having different conversations about him. So I'd like to see how that pans out. You know, last year he was finished fifth here and he lost almost four strokes off the tee. So I do like what McCarthy's been doing though. He's much more solid as a ball striker.
He's moving the right direction. I'm probably a little too far out in front with it right now and maybe not winning an elevated, but I haven't played him. Before,
last
but
week.
You know, you look at him T5 last year. Okay. So, but I did go down. I do think a guy that is improving right now big time with his iron game is Bezedenhut. Take note.
Yes.
Because Bezedenhut is on the rise, folks. 21st at the Charles Schwab, doing some nice work with Jeff Smith. I think that was a good match. Those two guys getting together. And I like what I see here. The ball is going to be flying. Just keep it Bezedenhut. Keep it, you know, the driver, keep it in here, right? I mean, he can get a little weird. Just keep it right here in front of you. Let your irons continue to go to work. We're looking at averaging right now the last five tournaments. He's been averaging positive four strokes gain approach. His putter will be just fine. His short game can get a little weird at times, but, you know, look, top 20, you want some odds, Bezedenhut, I'll take it. Sprinkle a little on the win, 150-1. Why not?
Here's a guy deep down the board, right? Before we run out of time here.
Yep.
All right. That you know, can he win? Guy lost in the playoff already this year. But on these golf courses where long iron play is at a premium and short game is a premium, Eric Cole just keeps just keeps showing up. And, you know, boards have him down in the, you know, plus 200 range. So, like, it's not necessarily a guy that in this designated event with $3.6 million on the line that, you know, I'm hitching my wagon to. But that's a guy right there that, you know, he's going to be in the 6K range in DraftKings. You want to learn to make money at the bottom of the board. Look at the skill set that really applies to what's happening here. And that guy's short game. I watched him at the Players for a bunch of holes, and I watched him practice a little bit. That guy's short game is world class. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's impressive. So if you don't like ankles, you got to look past it. Just look up, you know, look higher than that, and just you run with my boy Eric Cole this week. I think that you could do some damage with a placement. Certainly DFS. I can't see him being very highly owned, and he keeps showing up in these tough golf courses. So he's kind of a fun play down there at the bottom of the board because. In these designated events, it's a stretch. It's a stretch.
God, look at Davis Riley. He's fallen all the way to 250-1. He five straight missed cuts. That's a guy that made a switch with his coach as well, and it hadn't panned out yet. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer, so you got to see it through. But man, yeah. Davis Riley, you go back just a year ago and the run that he was on with his iron game and this and that, and you know, and now he's made some changes, and all of a sudden he's down there at 250-1. I'll go back up real quick here. I'll just say this.
All right.
Hayden Buckley, if you're listening.
Great driver. Yeah.
You've got to figure your short game out. Now, we talk about Hovland. We talk about Morikawa. We talk about these guys that struggle, you know, the elite players, and they need to get that weakness figured out. Hayden Buckley could be a very nice player with some staying power. Like, but his short game is bad. Like, it needs work. And I just, you know, sometimes you see those players, right, that it's like, damn, like, okay, look at the driver, the irons, okay, and the putter. And then all of a sudden there's just, bam, this really bad weakness, you know, I mean, just terrible weakness. And it's like, God,
glaring.
Just be average with this short game. And this young man could do it and have some staying power on the PGA Tour. So I like Hayden Buckley. He follows me. I've exchanged some DMs with him, and I've, you know, I've kind of thrown his name out there a few times. I like it. Good drive of the ball, iron game. Like, I like a lot of these things, but man, figure that freaking short game out.
Yeah. I watched him for a couple holes at RBC Heritage, and that guy with reckless abandon just pulled out driver and just striped it down the middle of those bowling alleys. And I was like, oh, look at this guy. I was like, you kidding me right now?
Yeah.
And then he got in and around the green, and it's like they were filming a bad National Geographic film. He's like clubbing baby seals. It's unbelievable. I was like, what is this guy? I mean, how could you be that good at that? Well, we asked this all. I don't want to get into the Wednesday podcast here. If I ask one more question, I mean, we're going to be talking for hours. Like, why is Davis Riley, who just absolutely kills his long iron game, that guy pumps it, man. When I saw him at Quail Hollow outdrive Sungjae Im and Lucas Glover by like 35, and both those guys outweigh him by like 40 pounds. It was like, oh, this guy, this is a stripe show. But
yeah,
I don't know. You know, golf's a funny game. It's a funny game.
I mean, it is a funny game, and it's just weird. Like, guys like Davis Riley, go back to, you know, that little stretch of golf that he had going literally at this time last year. I mean, he's PGA, he was 13th, Charles Schwab 4th, Memorial 13th, before that Valspar. AT&T 9th, Valspar. I mean, just like, it's just, and his iron game was so good. I mean, elite. And now it's just, what? And like, what? You know, I mean, like, I'm sure there's rhyme or reason for the changes in this and that, but man, it's been a grind here for him. Five straight missed cuts, 6 of the last 7 trying to just find anything. So anyway, all right, those are some bets. I like it. Yeah, I like it. I didn't have a great week last week. That was the tournament didn't fall the way that I was hoping. 8 under, we'll finish with this at Colonial. I mean, this whole roll the ball back thing, Keith, you know, the PGA Tour does not have an issue with rolling the ball back. They just don't. I mean, I just don't see it in the tournaments that they're playing, the courses that they're playing on. To me, it just feels 100% a USGA RNA issue. They've got a handful of courses that I'm sure they're getting some pressure on, they want to go back to. And that's where all of this is coming from. Because I look at Colonial, this gem of 7,000 yards. I look at some of these, most all these venues they play. This is not a PGA Tour issue.
They could have played Oak Hill at 6,800 yards. I'm telling you. Right. And there still would have been 25 guys under par. I mean, if you put a premium on getting the ball in the short grass and then, you know, you get the thing firm and fast, let's just not judge things on, you know, on outlier situations. You know, let's just not, let's, if the PGA Tour and the wonderful grounds teams that take care of these golf courses week after week after week, right? If you let them do what they want to do, by all means, they'll play it firm and fast and you won't need to worry about the golf ball. You know, the golf ball is going to be flying this week. It is so hot out here. It's you know, it's never hot. People are saying, well, the guy's wearing a sweater and I'm in the media center, right? They freeze us out in here all the time because they want to keep us awake and typing, you know, telling their stories. But you walk outside right now and that milkshake, if you don't down that thing in like under 10 seconds, it's toast. It is liquefied. It is. I mean, it's going to be 90 this weekend. The ball is going to be flying. And you tell me that some guy is going to turn this thing into a birdie fest. They're going to be battling. And I can't wait to see it. I'm pumped for this. I mean, we are in a really sweet spot with this event where over the last couple of years, where it sat wasn't perfect for it. But 2 weeks after the PGA and 2 weeks before LA, CC,
yep,
and going to Canada next week. You know, I think that,
yep,
man, this could be a really, really electric tournament this weekend, and I'm pumped to be here. I tell you, like, it's going to be a good one.
Well, we look forward to following your stuff. Keith Stewart, at Read the Line. Go subscribe. Go follow. It's great stuff. He's picking winners pretty much, if not every week, about every other week. And the last two times that he's been on site on the Stripe Show pod, we've picked a winner here. So what you just heard, will make it three times in a row. Here on the podcast, I feel good. Thanks, my man. Have a great week up there in Ohio.
You as well. And man, there's just nothing better than being on a Stripe show.
Awesome.